9 to noon radio show from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. Nordo on-site producer. Yours truly is Paul Allen. And we are joined by Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the Vikings facility in Eagan, Minnesota. How was it? Did it end up okay? Sunday night dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, when
I made stuffed peppers and potatoes.
Very nice. When I saw you Sunday at the Minnesota Football Honors Program, which is absolutely fantastic, by the way, you get excited for things, but the opportunity to have a homemade meal, relax, kick your feet up in what actually is your favorite chair, not your favorite chair at the Eagan facility, and then like go to bed early. I mean, you were kind of giddy about that.
No, my mom came over and made a 5-course meal like she does on every Sunday. We're Midwestern people, so it's always got a meat and potato in it.
Mm-hmm.
And fell asleep about 6:30 and woke up the next day.
So draft season, it definitely takes a lot out of you mentally and from a time standpoint. How did you reintroduce yourself to your wife? Wait, let me rephrase that. Excuse me. How great?
Jeez.
I'm sorry. How great was it being back home and relaxing? Because that run up to the draft, that it gets exhausting, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's mental and physical. I mean, because you're up, you know, you're going 14, 16, 18 hours a day straight through for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's nice to finally get an opportunity to relax a little bit. I'm looking forward not to this weekend. Well, I am looking forward to this weekend. But
yeah,
next week,
rookie camp.
Yeah, it will be the first weekend we've had off since probably last July.
Good for you. Taking a vacation?
No, we're just going to sit and relax, and I got a list of honeydew things I know that I have
to address. A staycation. Up to the draft, you know, I know it probably is segmented, like a month in front of the draft you're doing something, and then 3 weeks, 2 weeks, then the week of the draft. Overall, what takes up most of your time when you're preparing for the draft?
I think the biggest thing is coming out of the meetings and then going back and evaluating the film again. And you go back and forth and back and forth, and then you go through all the scenarios that can possibly happen to you, and you rehearse those over and over again, and it's just constant. And then when we have a discrepancy or, hey, this guy over this guy, then we sit together as a group. We get the coaches. They do it as a group. We do it as a group. We come together and come up with a solution.
Do coaches and or personnel people, do they develop favorite players? Like, I put these Kentucky Derby past performances in front of you for Saturday. And what we will do is we will find a horse we like in the race, and it kind of becomes our, quote, pet horse, end quote, depending on what the odds are. Go ahead and insert one-liner about how I never win and my horses should be named Eeyore. But do those in your department or with whom you deal, do they develop favorite players and, like, you know, bang their fist down on desk saying, I have to have this guy, Rick?
No, I think it's because the way we approach it as a group.
Yeah.
And guys come in and they like this guy and they like that guy. And the scout's been out all fall, basically all year, and they mm-hmm. come in with their favorite guys. But when you come together as a group, for example, the West Coast, they have maybe a favorite tight end, let's say, or a favorite offensive lineman out in that area. But their guy is behind maybe someone on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll watch the East Coast guy and the West Coast guy with everybody in there so they can see and make that comparison, because that's the only way they're going to be able to make that comparison. So by the time we are done all of our group studies, by the time we are done all of our film evaluations together
mm-hmm.
as a group, everybody comes up with a pretty strong consensus.
Want to make a trade?
What are we trading?
I will. I've worked in horse racing for a quarter century. So when I look at those past performances,
you would never guess it with your record.
It's like you analyzing the punt returns of Mike
Hughes. Skolcyss are doing, by the way.
Well, she has a foot problem, so we're considering changing her name to Skull Blister. But there's a lot of red tape through which we have to go if we do that. I'd like to make a trade. I will tell you who the favorite is in the Run for the Roses this Saturday. If you finish this segment with me and spend another segment talking about these new players, does that sound good?
That's fair.
All right. Now, quickly, because I want to get into these players next segment. Regarding college free agency and the emphasis you put on it last year and this year, 9 to noon with my radio show, we've been talking about some of these college free agents, specifically, clearly somebody you and others around the league identified, this Texas corner, Holton Hill. And he ended up here. And in discussing Holton Hill and what must have gone into getting him here, it made me think back to 2013 with Adam Thielen. And you know, the story of Adam has been told, and Adam is one of the better receivers in the NFL. But correct me if I'm wrong here, in 2013, like after the draft, he wasn't one of these Holton Hills. He wasn't one of these Kyle Sloters on a practice squad. You know, we're going to get him and give him this. He had to, like, try out to get on the undrafted rookie, to be part of that, only to get cut with cuts and then land on the practice. It's an unbelievable story.
It's kind of like hopefully a Skull Sister story where she comes out of nowhere and gets her foot blister taken
Stop
care
that.
Of. But it's, and that's why we have this rookie minicamp, and that's why this weekend's so exciting, because we actually have three guys that weren't signed after the draft that are currently on our roster that went through that same process.
Yeah.
So it was Adam who's, it was Marcus Sherrills 8 years ago, and it was C.J. Hamm who started a fullback for us last year.
So Marcus Sherrills was not an identified college free agent. He had to try out to just earn that right.
Correct.
Holy cow. And with Adam, you know, like back in 2013 out of Mankato, to the tryout's one thing, but then to win the tryout and become part of the bit, like what do you remember about him then that you saw then that eventually would lead to 2014 block punt against the Panthers, touchdown against the Bears, final game of the season, and now, you know, off last year, 1,000 receiving yards, first guy to do that since Sidney Rice in 2009.
I think his approach to everything – it doesn't matter once you get your foot in the door. And we tell all the players coming in, I don't care if you're a first rounder or you're a college free agent, we are equal opportunity employer. And if you come in and take care of your business, we're going to play the best 53, make the best 53 man roster, and we're going to play the best guys on Sunday. And it doesn't matter your status now.
Yeah.
Everybody's on an equal playing field, and you have to come in and earn your right to get on the field.
From Mike Hughes through Devontae Downs and some of these very intriguing college free agents, we will discuss that when 9 to noon continues with Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. We are at the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center in Eagan, and you're listening to The Fan. 9 to noon radio show from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center. Nordo on-site producer. Yours truly is Paul Allen. And we are joined by Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the Vikings facility in Eagan, Minnesota. How was it? Did it end up okay? Sunday night dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
my
when
mom
I went,
made stuffed peppers and potatoes.
Very nice. When I saw you Sunday at the Minnesota Football Honors Program, which is absolutely fantastic, by the way, you get excited for things, but the opportunity to have a homemade meal, relax, kick your feet up in what actually is your favorite chair, not your favorite chair at the Eagan facility, and then, like, go to bed early. I mean, you were kind of giddy about that.
No, my mom came over and made a five-course meal like she does on every Sunday. We're Midwestern people, so it's always got a meat and potato in it. And fell asleep about 6:30 and woke up the next day.
So draft season, it definitely takes a lot out of you mentally and from a time standpoint. How did you reintroduce yourself to your wife? Wait, let me rephrase that. Excuse me. How great.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. How great was it being back home and relaxing? Because that run up to the draft, that it gets exhausting, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's mental and physical. I mean, because you're up, you know, you're going 14, 16, 18 hours a day straight through for about 3 weeks. But it's nice to finally get an opportunity to relax a little bit. I'm looking forward not to this weekend. Well, I am looking forward to this weekend. But next week,
rookie camp.
It will be the first weekend we've had off since probably last July.
Good for you. Taking a vacation?
No, we're just going to sit and relax, and I got a list of honeydew things I know that I have
to staycation. Up to the draft, you know, I know it probably is segmented, like a month in front of the draft you're doing something, then 3 weeks, 2 weeks, then the week of the draft. Overall, what takes up most of your time when you're preparing for the draft?
I think the biggest thing is coming out of the meetings and then going back and evaluating the film again. And you go back and forth and back and forth, and then you go through all the scenarios that can possibly happen to you, and you rehearse those over and over again, and it's just constant. And then when we have a discrepancy or, hey, this guy over this guy, then we sit together as a group. We get the coaches. They do it as a group. We do it as a group. We come together and come up with a solution.
Do coaches and or personnel people, do they develop favorite players? Like, I put these Kentucky Derby past performances in front of you for Saturday. And what we will do is we will find a horse we like in the race, and it kind of becomes our, quote, pet horse, end quote, depending on what the odds are. And go ahead and insert one-liner about how I never win and my horses should be named Eeyore. But do those in your department or with whom you deal, do they develop favorite players and, like, you know, bang their fist down on desk saying, I have to have this guy, Rick?
No, I think it's because the way we approach it as a group.
Yeah.
And guys come in and they like this guy and they like that guy, and the scout's been out all fall, basically all year, and they mm-hmm. come in with their favorite guys. But when you come together as a group, for example, the West Coast, they have maybe a favorite tight end, let's say, or a favorite offensive lineman out in that area. But their guy is behind maybe someone on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll watch the East Coast guy and the West Coast guy with everybody in there so they can see and make that comparison, because that's the only way they're going to be able to make that comparison. So by the time we are done, by the time we are done all of our group studies, by the time we are done all of our film evaluations together
mm-hmm.
as a group, everybody comes up with a pretty strong consensus.
Want to make a trade?
What are we trading?
I will. I've worked in horse racing for a quarter century. So when I look at those past performances.
You would never guess it with your record.
It's like you analyzing the punt returns of my kids.
How's Skull Sister doing, by the way?
Well, we're she has a foot problem, so we're considering changing her name to Skull Blister. But, yeah, there's a lot of red tape through which we have to go if we do that. I'd like to make a trade. I will tell you who the favorite is in the Run for the Roses this Saturday. If you finish this segment with me and spend another segment talking about these new players, does that sound good?
That's fair.
All right, now quickly, because I want to get into these players next segment. Regarding college free agency and the emphasis you put on it last year and this year, 9 to noon with my radio show, we've been talking about some of these college free agents, specifically, clearly somebody you and others around the league identified, this Texas corner, Holton Hill, and he ended up here. And in discussing Holton Hill and what must have gone into getting him here, it made me think back to 2013 with Adam Thielen. And you know, the story of Adam has been told, and Adam is one of the better receivers in the NFL. But correct me if I'm wrong here, in 2013, like after the draft, he wasn't one of these Holton Hills. He wasn't one of these Kyle Sloter's on a practice squad, you know, we're going to get him and give him this. He had to, like, try out to get on the undrafted rookie to be part of that, only to get cut with cuts and then land on the it's an unbelievable story.
It's kind of like, hopefully, a Skull Sister story where she comes out of nowhere
right.
and gets her foot blister taken
Stop
care
that.
Of. But it's, and that's why we have this rookie minicamp, and that's why this weekend's so exciting, because we actually have three guys that weren't signed after the draft that are currently on our roster that went through that same process.
Yeah.
So it was Adam who's, you know, it was Marcus Sherrills
yep.
8 years ago, and it
wow.
was C.J. Hamm
wow.
who started a fullback for us last
so
year.
So Marcus Sherrills was not an identified college free agent. He had to try out to just earn that right.
Correct.
Holy cow. And with Adam, you know, like back in 2013, out of Mankato, to the tryout's one thing, but then to win the tryout and become part of the bit, like, what do you remember about him then that you saw then that eventually would lead to 2014 block punt against the Panthers, touchdown against the Bears, final game of the season, and now, you know, off last year, 1,000 receiving yards, first guy to do that since Sidney Rice in 2009.
I think his approach to everything. It doesn't matter once you get your foot in the door. And we tell all the players coming in, we tell all the – I don't care if you're a first-rounder or you're a college free agent, we are equal opportunity employer. And if you come in and take care of your business, we're going to play the best 53 – make the best 53-man roster, and we're going to play the best guys on Sunday. And it doesn't
yeah.
matter your status now.
Yeah.
Everybody's on an equal playing field, and you have to come in and earn your right to get on the field.
From Mike Hughes through Devontae Downs and some of these very intriguing college free agents, we will discuss that when 9 to noon continues with Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. We are at the Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center in Eagan, and you're listening to The Fan.